Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this day. God, thank you for bringing us to this place. Father, a place where we can, God, just fellowship and love on each other. And Father, just take some time to settle down and hear what you have to say. Father, today, as we go through our time together and talking about something that's could be very controversial, God, something that could even push some of us back. Father God, I believe that in what is going to be said and presented today, there is complete truth that we need to think about, God, that we need to see and we need to look into. And Father, I pray that you just open our eyes to it. God, help us to understand it. God, as we go through your word, I pray that will take root in our hearts. And God, it will bear fruit. It will grow and be prosperous, Father, for us in our lives and for others who know us. So, Father, just be with us today. Watch over us. Protect us. God, I pray that we have our ears open to the very end, that we won't shut you out, and we'll take what you give us and take what we learn, and we'll take it home, and we'll filter everything through your word, through Scripture. So, God, I just pray that you use me as your instrument this morning. May you be glorified and honored in all we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so today's going to be fun, lots and lots of fun. So last week, we talked about and said, we got talking about an article. If you'll remember when we were winding up, kind of last week, maybe not at the very end. Well, that article is just, I've read it now two or three different times just to be sure, you know, that what it did for me, I want to share with you. And whether we want to believe it or not, you know, we can get a little testy at times about what others say or, well, let me put it this way. Who loves and just enjoys being held accountable, told him that you're doing something wrong? All right, well, let's pray and go home because this ain't going to be good, okay? But seriously, do you think that we ought to be able to hear something and rather than lash out, have the proper response to something as to think about it, meditate on it, and take it to God's Scripture, take it to His Word, and filter it through? Because you do want to know the truth, right? Would any of you in here today say that you got things going on in your life or some things you think that is not God-honoring? Anybody? Oh, gosh, yeah, this is going to be fun. I'm going to enjoy this. So, but seriously, we're going to talk about a subject today. And it's not, we're using television as a as one of the things that we'll be talking about, but I think it relates to all parts of our life. And so, Courtney, if you thump the title up, Jesus, am I too serious about following you? And that just kind of came to me as I was reading through this article. Who in here feels like that you just worship Jesus way too much? Anybody, you just overkill on the Jesus thing? Okay, so no one. So that's honest, right? Nobody is worshiping him too much. Who's following Jesus too closely? Anybody following him way too closely? You need to back off, go do something a little different, take some downtime from Jesus. Anybody think you need to do that? No. So see, we all agree, and now that you don't agree to that, we're going to do the message. Because now that you have agreed that none of us is doing that, do you believe that we need to be more tuned in to what God's telling us and more tuned in to how Jesus is leading us? Do you believe that needs to be the case in all of our lives? So this may be easier than I thought. Hope you take notes. Hope you write stuff down because I want to just say a few things. Now, I made me some notes. By the way, I'm going to be reading parts of the article today, and I'm going to be honest with you. He's going to throw some things out about television. Some of you are going to have a tendency to say, that guy's crazy, that's pushing it way too far. Because he's going to infringe on, he's going to come into your little protective zone, and he's going to mess that up for a little bit, which I think brothers and sisters need to do in each other's life. Because as I read this article three times, I was a little like, hey, dude, you need to back up just a little bit and give me some space, you know, because there are some things I like, and there's some things, and I read it with the thinking, how would I respond to him if he was addressing me individually? If he was, you know, and I'll be honest with you, it kind of push me a little bit, but at the end of the day, after reading this thing three times, at the end of the day, I'm like, seems to me he's just a brother that is throwing something out there in front of us that we need to think about. He's holding us accountable. He is saying, I'm not saying you got to do this, and I don't think he's forcing it on me. I believe this is something we need to pay attention to. So as I read parts of the article, he words it in some ways. All the little kids are gone, right? He words it in some ways that's going to be very, very bold. And so I'm going to read part of the article to you in just a little bit. We're not going out today after all this is over. And, you know, I'm not going to ask you to go burn your TVs and all your DVDs. You know, we're not advocating that or promoting that. Today, all I want us to do is to get to think about where our life is in terms of following Jesus. Because we just came out of a series a week or two ago about following Jesus. And what does that look like? And here's what bugs me to no end about the American church. We think that we can follow Jesus and add our life to it and kind of just add things in. That's not of God. That's not of Christ. And I don't think that's right. I know in my life, there's areas in my life as I continue to ask God to reveal to me what needs to be repented of, what needs to be let go of. He keeps bringing things up in my life. And I believe that God is awesome in doing that. That he'll, if you ask, God, I want to follow you, but I know there's some gunk in here, and I just want to know what it is so that I can repent of it, that I can ask your forgiveness, and God, that you will make it right in me. And I think he'll show us. So we're gonna look at some of those things. So before we go into the article, I'm gonna read this, just a couple of questions, and I've done asked one of them already. Do you think, and I'll just leave it at this really, do you think we're following Jesus too closely in our personal walk? And all y'all said no, even myself, we're not. We could get closer to Jesus, I think. I really do. Why is it, do you think we get testy when somebody challenges us or says something to us, holds us accountable to something that we're doing that's not lining up to Scripture? Now, I'm talking to the Christians. If you're sitting in here today and you're not a follower of Christ, you can take a break for just a minute. I'm talking to the followers of Christ. Why is it that we seem to want to defend things that we will actually get in an argument about something that we're doing that I believe deep down in our heart we know is not something Christ would approve of? You're going to hear me say this a couple times today, and I said it the other week. If Jesus like would manifest himself, be physically right here beside me, and he walked around with me this next week, can you think of anything at this moment, if Jesus was walking right beside of you day by day, could you think of anything this moment you wouldn't do this week that you normally do? Yeah. Yeah. All of us would. All of us would. If Jesus said, hey, man, I'm coming to hang out with you this week, and we're going to walk. Let me put it another little way. Maybe this is stepping over the line a little bit, but I don't mind stepping over the line to make this point. Maybe this is stepping over the line. He come to say, you told me that you were going to follow me. I just come to give you an exam this week on how you're doing. Would we do anything differently? Would we know how to do it differently? And I know this is serious stuff, guys, but it's like our youth. I've been telling our youth, when we have class, I've been telling them that I'm kind of a little bit worn out trying to just do a little Sunday school lesson. I'm going to start asking them about, do you know Jesus? And if you do, are you following him? And if you are following him, how are you following him? Let's get real. Let's get real. If you got questions, and by all means, please ask. There is no shame in sitting here and saying, look, I want to know him. I would love to know him. I'm real uncertain about some of the things. In fact, Jesus scares me. Anybody ever been scared by Jesus? Yeah. It's some scary stuff. It's some scary stuff in there. And Jesus said, I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to wake you up. I'm here to show you the truth. I'm here to reveal to you who I am. So we need that. So I wonder sometimes why we get so testy when things are challenged. Because Christians cannot have fun, right? There's no way we can have fun. We are just like board stiff and we have to do certain things because we have to follow a rule book. That's insane. I've had more fun since I've known Jesus than way before when I didn't, you know. And I've done some insane stuff before I didn't. So I'm going to read some of the article. If you get bored with me, by the way, today may be a little longer, and I don't care. If you need to go, you're not going to offend me if you need to get up and walk out. That's fine. You ain't going to offend me at all. I'm going to preach to the chairs if I got to until all this is said, okay? So I'm not. I ain't going to hold you here. That'll be up to you whether you want to stay or not. Need my glasses. I'm an old guy. So, oh, wow. Can you still hear me? Or I'd cut myself? Okay. All right. Here's the article. Here's parts of it. Many of us, as Christians, have decided that our entertainment choices ought to be exempt from moral scrutiny. We've come to the convenient conclusion that television is a neutral medium. We need not even engage with someone who suggests that a certain TV show or movie is not helpful in our Christian walk. Meaning this, I'm going to point out some shows. It's got some shows he listed in here, and he just went out and said them. Maybe your favorite show. Maybe. But you'll have to deal with that, and I'm not here to make fun of you or bash you or beat you because you watch a certain show. It's just interesting. Maybe this guy watched them. I'm not sure, but just warning you, some things could come up like, oh, my gosh, I watched that. It doesn't mean that Jesus is going to kill you today, okay? So, anyway, so we need not even engage with someone who suggests that a certain TV show or movie is helpful in our Christian walk. It's just entertainment. Have you ever heard that before? It's just entertainment. We respond with a shrug, which is a bit like saying it's just food when someone warns us that a Cinnabon won't help you lose weight. And that's true. This attitude is especially troubling because we waste almost, listen to this, this is one of the parts that got me. We waste almost all of our time being entertained. The average American, not saying that, you know, we're average, but you know, let's play for here for a second. The average American spends 5 hours a day watching TV. He spends another 5 hours, and I think this is dead on, possibly even a little bit low. He spends another 5 hours on his phone or laptop or playing video games. This is enough screen time to watch almost an entire season of The House of Cards in a day, every day. And we have no moral qualms about doing so, despite the fact that the whole, and here we go, hang on with me, the whole delight of The House of Cards comes from seeing a gay sociopath lie and scheme and murder for his own gain, taking a break for the occasional bisexual threesome. But why shouldn't we get our kicks that way? It's just entertainment, we insist again. We need to escape sometimes. We need to escape sometimes. Let me read on. When are we not escaping? Once we factored in sleeping, we're only left with about 5 or 6 hours of day not dedicated to escaping or being entertained. By staring into the screen or one screen or another, so if we have decided that we need not glorify God with our entertainment selections and all we ever do is entertain ourselves, when will we glorify God? True, isn't it? It's true. Everybody with me so far? This is just an article. Just an article. Doggone, I think he's hitting it. It's one thing for us to debate which shows or movies bring us closer to God. That's a healthy discussion. But it's another for Christians to claim that we shouldn't take such things into consideration. I'm willing to listen to an argument. There's a big thing right there. We need to be willing to listen to each other. You know, he says, I'm willing to listen to an argument that a show I've written off as morally objectionable, is actually edifying. On the other hand, I have little patience for an argument that a show is morally objectionable because it's morally neutral. I could take more seriously the assertion that The Walking Dead is a spiritually enlightening masterpiece. It isn't. Than an argument that watching a guy get his face eaten is entirely neutral and leaves no mark on our souls at all. Nothing you do is morally neutral. Your clothing, your diet, the way you speak, even the kinds of thoughts you allow yourself to think. None of these are neutral. They are either for good or ill, one way or another. So, certainly, So there is certainly no moral neutrality to be found in the sorts of images and ideas you choose to spend 5 hours a day passively ingesting. You are either being hurt or helped by them, most of the time hurt. Many Christians pretend not to believe or understand the simple concept when Paul said, whatever you do, do for the glory of God. We imagine that he meant, but forgot to include a disclaimer of whatever you do, except for that thing that you spend the majority of your free time doing, and that influences human behavior to such an extent that companies spend billions of dollars advertising through it. Do it for the glory of God. Quite a boneheaded idea, boneheaded oversight on the great apostle's part, or else a boneheaded interpretation on our part. So here's what he kind of got in trouble for, because the point I want to get to here in just a minute is the response to this. You know, and some of you may be sitting here already and like, man, I'm totally going to shut this down. You're not going to tell me what I can do. And I'm not. I can't tell you what to do. I wouldn't tell you what to do at all. But as I read this article, you know, it began to have me evaluate my thoughts, evaluate my decisions. You know, what's being planted in my head? What's being planted in my heart? And how does that affect me? Have you ever thought about that, by the way? What goes into our hearts and heads and how we take it in, how that affects our living out? Have we ever pondered that? So he's saying that we ought to consider whether a show brings us closer to God by watching it. That's what he said. That's what he said. We ought to wonder if that show I just watched, does that bring me closer to God by watching it? And I'll tell you this. I watch several hours of TV each week that I would have to confess does not bring me closer to God by watching it. I'll just be that honest with you. So he says, this is the question he asked, or the statement he made. A large number of people, now I'm thinking these are Christians, so listen here. He said the majority of them was Christians, responded or sent messages mocking me for making such a radical suggestion. I was accused of being self-righteous for so much as hinting that some television shows are counterproductive. Some people fretted that if we try to make moral choices in our TV watching, we may discover that none of our favorite shows are appropriate. What are we supposed to do? Watch no TV at all? Or, you know, how could we endure that? Who could go in your house? I'm just asking, because at the end of service today, this is going to be really awesome, and I can't wait to get there. But who could go in your house starting today and put the remote control in a drawer and lock it up with the lock only opening up next week? Anybody could do that? See, Sandra could. You just perfect, Miss Sandra. You know, no, I'm just kidding. You tell them, you are blessed, really, because you don't get into TV, and that's a plus. Yeah. Well, you throw it in the pond or something. So anyway, yeah, I mean, go and seriously lock it up for a week. Lock it up for a week. You know, it's amazing. I got to thinking, could I do without television for a week? Or how would I be, and what would happen, and what would my temperament be like? But anyway, stick with me. Let's don't get off track. He said, now, to be clear, I did not say, nor do I believe that we must give up TV completely. But I want to pause here and reflect on this mentality. In Scripture, Christ tells us to give up everything for Him. And there have been scores of Christians, martyrs throughout history, and still today, who have done just that. Yet we have judged it unrealistic to give up a TV show. Christ says, and you got to hate this guy. Christ says, gouge out your eye if it causes you to sin. We cannot bear to delete something from like our Netflix account or whatever. You know, it's crazy. Man, yeah, this guy's tough to listen to. Anyway, he said, by the way, I have struggled with it. I have a TV in my home, and I use it, although nowhere close to 5 hours a week. I have watched plenty of shows and films that I should not have watched. There was a time, and I love this because your wife just knows how to just nail you. Anyway, so she says, there was a time I watched anything at all with absolutely no thought as to whether it is morally objectionable. I began to see the error in my way 7 years ago when my wife and I started dating. I put on an episode of Dexter. I have no idea what that is. If you're not familiar, the show is about a benevolent serial killer who satisfies his lust for blood by murdering, dismembering other criminals. My wife was horrified by it, and rightly so, and even more horrified that I would find any pleasure at all in watching something like that. I argued with her at first, saying all the same dumb stuff that people say to me now. It's just a show. It isn't real. What's the big deal? But she answered, and here she just nailed him. She answered with one simple question. Do you think Jesus would watch this show? And in all honesty, some of us, to make it okay with us, say, yeah, I think he would. Well, ponder that a little more carefully and just see. He might would, but you ask him. So the answer to that question, of course, was no. And that came in due time. He said, but in this argument I had with my wife, or the arguments people made to me last night, we see an obvious contradiction. If TV is such a neutral thing, if it's not a big deal, then why do we so passionately defend our TV watching habits? Why do we consider it unrealistic to curtail those habits? Why was I willing to fight with my wife about Dexter, of all things? Why did someone send me an email last night calling me a holier-than-thou piece of, and I'm going to kind of bleep this, piece of poo, because I insinuated in general terms that some TV shows aren't good. He just made a statement. If I come to your house, and I wonder how you would respond. If I came to your house and you had TV on, and I looked at it and I said to you, that's not healthy. Would you be offended? Would you like, you just all that? Holy? We would do it right. Somebody come in and start talking about my Andy Griffith, I won't tell them what for. You know? But he's saying, this is what happens. He said, if it's no big deal. Why did someone else call me a delusional Puritan? I love that one, by the way. I'd love to be a delusional Puritan. As if I had announced that electricity is from the devil. I thought this stuff was no big deal. Why do you defend, why do we defend our shows like we gave them birth? Why is this unimportant thing so incredibly important to us? The answer, because it's not neutral. Entertainment is a force. It moves us. That's why we value it so highly. That's why we spend 5 hours a day watching it. That's why actors in our country get paid millions. We value what they do more than we value pretty much anything else. There is much to be said about the fact that you cannot say that use this as a symptom of moral neutrality. It may sound corny, but I think a good rule of thumb is this. If you wouldn't watch a particular show with Christ sitting physically in the room with you, you shouldn't watch it. After all, he is in the room with you. Of course, I realize that if Christ did bring himself and manifest himself right beside you in person, we probably wouldn't turn the TV on at all. And I think that would be true. When it comes down to it, much of what we call modern entertainment either has nothing to say at all, existing only to shoot chaos and sound into our pulverized brains, or what it says is not true. It lies to us, and we submit ourselves to that lie, receive it passively, and take pleasure in it. The message often embedded in film and television is that evil is fun, sex is a game, human suffering is a spectacle for consumption, goodness is bland, the traditional family structure is oppressive, religion is for weirdos. And it could go on and on. Hollywood, and pardon me for saying this, but this is the only way I can say it neatly and nicely. Hollywood defecates all over our faith and our values and our families, and we eat it up like starving dogs. We should find something else to eat. That's all he's trying to say. So, isn't that neat? All right, y'all ready to go home? So, that's awesome. That's an article, and I think the guy's pretty dead on it, at least for me. And all I want to do is share some scripture with you now, because I'm not going to, by the way, Matt Walsh is the guy, if you want to go to his website. Matt Walsh is the guy that wrote that article, so I give him all the credit for it. And any debashing that y'all want to do, you know, Matt, send him a message. But it was amazing to me that Christians thought this was offensive. So as I read it the first time, I was like, okay, I'm a follower of Christ. Let me see what this guy is saying, and would I find it offensive? And I'll be honest with you, at first taking it in, it's like, you know, wait a minute. My TV's in my home. It's my personal space. I try not to watch anything that's, you know, really that bad. That bad. He said, if it's not beneficial, if it's not going to glorify God, if it's not going to make us closer to God, why watch it? Why watch it? And that we could leave right now, and that's the truth. That is dead on it. I think Jesus would say, Jesus, God's Son would say to us, if it's not going to bring you closer to me, don't watch it, don't eat it, don't do that, don't go there, if it's not going to bring you closer to me. So it covers all of life. So I want to read just a few comments before I get into Scripture. And here's a few comments that a few people made. And I didn't have time to write them all down, but I wrote these few. Said, Matt, your latest piece on TV is so dumb. That is why I'm questioning why I ever read your stuff in the first place. Now, this is probably coming from believers. It's just so dumb, Matt. You're trying to point me to Jesus, you dummy. Matt, I had no idea that you were going to start promoting an Amish lifestyle. I could dig an Amish lifestyle. That's a lot about farming. We could rock that world right there. You know, I'd have to lose a little and learn some things. But anyway, he said, Matt, I've had enough of your self-righteousness. You can't force your entertainment ideas about TV on other people, in which I think Matt would respond and I would respond. You're exactly right. I can't force my ideas and thoughts on you. But if you're telling me that you are a follower of the most holy God, if you're telling me that you know Christ and you will follow Him, and if you're telling me that Christ is the most important thing, most important one in your life, then we better consider this. And we better think about it. And I don't have it all together. I can assure you, I'm probably a bigger mess up than you are. But I didn't take offense to this article at all, because I think it was just a brother saying, I'm going to throw something out there to you and just get you to think about it. Get you to think about it. So here's what we're going to do now. We're going to do some Scripture, because we couldn't let you leave church without doing Scripture, because that wouldn't be biblical. Right? Exactly. So what I did, and y'all will love this, I actually typed in, and I thought this would just say zero results. Anyway, I typed in, Scripture about watching television. Whoa, dude, it popped up. Well, you know, what we're taking in, and I mean, some of them was like, oh, I'd really have to, kind of bend that a little bit, but some of them were dead on. And so I typed these in, and I began to write them down, and then I went back and began to just read them, because, you got to read them and just kind of sort through them. But I'm like, wow. And Jesus said He knew TV was coming. Jesus knew that we were going to have idiot boxes in our house one day. And He knew that they were coming. And He says a lot about it. He says a lot about it. And I'm like, that is just so cool. So let's do this. I want to say to Matt. So Matt, is God saying pay attention to what we hear and see? That's exactly what Jesus is saying to us. It's what the Word of God is saying to us. So Psalm 101:3. Let's go there. This won't take but just a few. I think it's 170 scriptures. So we're going to read all those. I was going to bring Trey up, but he's tired today. I'm going to read them. Psalm 101:3. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. It shall not fasten its grip on me. Whether we want to believe it or not, folks, I'm telling you that Scripture says that we can be fastened by the things we watch, the things we take in. We can be held down. We can be, restricted, kind of made useless by what we take in, what we watch. I'm telling you, you don't bake a pound cake and you put the ingredients in and say, I wonder if Tabasco sauce would be good in a pound cake. Or maybe a little Texas Pete. Or maybe put a jalapeno. You don't put those things in a pound cake. And here's what I mean. We can't serve and follow Jesus and start adding the world's ingredients in it. It don't work that way. It just don't. He never intended for it to be like that. So, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:33. He said, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. That's a proven, isn't it? How many times have you told your kids, or you've heard parents tell their kids, hang out with the wrong crowd and they'll affect you. They'll rub off on you. My dad said it. I mean, millions of parents said, hang out with a bad crowd and they're going to ruin you. And you know what? After those kids get to that place about 30 years later, they'll say, because I can say this, I was a kid that those things rubbed off on, they'll say the same thing I'm saying. Wished I wouldn't have done that. Wished I wouldn't have been there. How many testimonies have y'all heard in church of a guy getting up and he said, I'm 56 years old, dope fried my brain, beer and alcohol ruined my family, sex outside of my marriage killed my family, and I lost my wife, I lost my kids, and on and on and on and on and on it goes. And he was living in a corrupt world. The world will corrupt you. It's sinful. So he said, do not be deceived. Bad company, what we're taking around, what we're hanging out with, that will corrupt good morals. Galatians 6:8. For the one who shows his own For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. I'm telling you. And I want you to think about something, because here's where we're going today. And I know this is like, see, we think this is crazy. This is one of the points I wanted to make. In America, for a preacher to get up and tell you that in every spare moment of your life, every spare moment of your life, be face down before God and reading the Word of God. That sounds crazy in our culture. When in other countries, they die for the cause of Christ. And in other countries, they're face down before God every single day. And in other countries, for those who are following, they can't get enough of the Word of God. Why is it different here? Well, one, they don't have the entertainment system in a lot of those worlds. And I've told people this 100 times. They said, you know, going overseas, being a missionary to those other countries are just so extremely difficult. And I agree. There's some extreme conditions. This is the most difficult country to minister in. This is the most difficult country to present the gospel and have people truly hear it. And why is that? We have too much. We have too much. Every single day, going back to television, if you're watching it, and I've paid a little bit of attention to this over the last few weeks because I couldn't preach this to you unless I've done started to test this in my life. Every single day, I'll watch something and pay attention to something that has no value concerning the kingdom of God at all. And for us to say, hey, cut your televisions off, do this, read the Word of God, lay face down and cry out to God and pray for Him, that seems ridiculous. We're smarter than that, God. Really? We're not. We're not. Why isn't the craving for Christ like it is in the people this overseas? And you may be sitting in here and you have that craving, and I might not be talking to you. I don't know. But for me, why isn't the craving for God and the love for Christ like that of so many who only has Christ? You know, they say that the devil will do things. He's very subtle. And I think he pumps garbage through television. There again, I ain't saying all television is bad, okay? I'm not saying that. But he'll pump garbage into your brain. And here, he's laughing at you. He's laughing at me. He's making a fool out of you. And he's making a fool out of me. And he'll ask that, I'll bet you, come that decision, he won't choose Jesus. And he's right. He's right. Been faced with decisions in my life that I could choose Jesus or choose the way of the world or the way of the devil. Let's just call it what it is. And I would choose the devil and say that I am a follower. Don't that make you sick to your stomach? It does me. It does me. And it's just this battle. So he says, for those who sows to his own flesh, for those who feed our flesh, because we won't be satisfied and we want it in the moment and we don't want to spend time, you know, doing this whole Jesus thing. For those, He says, corruption. Corruption is coming. Death is what we're headed towards. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. He says, do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself. Oh, I got to stop there for just a second. Can we actually train ourselves? I think we can. I think if we're listening to Christ, if we're following Him, it is a training, and we can train ourselves. We know this, for all the fat people in here, like myself, which is better for me today, to have, this is almost so hard to say, barbecued ribs and fat back, or should I choose a salad? Now, I'm trying to lose weight, and this might be a corny kind of thing, but you just bear with me. It would be more beneficial and better for me to choose a salad. Occasionally, you know, this isn't so bad, but let's be honest. My arteries are saying, oh, man, again? Again? You're going to choose that again? And I just want to point out, there's like, you know, train ourselves. I can make a choice. Because Christ that lives in me, I can kind of say, no, that's destructive. It may not look like it. It smells good. And it looks good. But that's not good for me. So I can train myself to be godly. How do I do that? You're only going to do that through this. Here's the training manual. Here's what you listen to. And you don't just listen to it. You be obedient to it. You do what it says do. And that's born. Well, the older I get, I'm tending to draw towards, I like life better than death. God's teaching me some things. And He's opening my eyes. And if you go in this book, I think with the heart and the desire to understand and know, God will reveal it to you. He may make you work for it a little bit and do some struggling and some studying and some wrestling with, but He'll show it to you. He'll show it to you. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better. Promising benefits is this life and the life in this life and the life to come. Romans 12:2, this is familiar. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Matthew 6:22, he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. I know you've heard probably some big belly Baptist preacher say this at some point, and I'm big belly, and we kind of almost just about maybe a little Baptist. So anyway, here's the deal. Seriously, what I take in, affects me. What I listen to affects me. What I zero in on, what I spend time with, affects me. And let me just say, I would venture to say that we could walk in here after letting this be our devotion or be devoted to it. If there was a season in our life when I said, okay, God, it's You and all You. And we spent months just seeking and searching after God. Francis Chan put it this way one time. If we were dropped on a desert island, better yet, a deserted island, with nothing but this, and someone picked us up 1 year later, would we return with a different thinking and perspective on what it was like to follow Christ? Because I'm going to tell you, after being by yourself for months, this would be real precious. This would be real precious. And we would view it differently. I think sometimes, in my point being, if we were dropped on that deserted island, there would be no distractions. We would have this. And this is what would entertain us. And this is what would speak to us. And that's what I'm trying to say here today. It's a lamp. What we take in is going to affect us. And I'm not saying, please don't leave here today and say, oh my gosh, my my preacher's done said that we know that, that I'm not trying to tell you what you can and can't do. In fact, I can't stop you at all. You big people, you grown ups, I ain't gonna try to come into your house and stop you from doing something. However, if you tell me that you're a brother or sister, and I walk into your house and there's something, the same way I'd expect you to tell me. You know, if y'all walked into my house and Cindy was standing there and I had my girlfriend on my arm, would y'all say something? No? Shame on you. You should beat me in the head with a baseball bat and then wake me up and tell me how stupid that was. Seriously. what we're taking in. Romans 6, 1 through 23. I'm going to let you take this one home and read it. And please pay attention to it. So write down Romans 6, 1 through 23. Please go read that because I'm going to use this next week. Okay? And we're fixing to get to what next week is all about. I'll go ahead and tell you. This is one of the things I want you to read for what we're going to do next week. Okay? Homework. Awesome. Yeah. John 4:23. He says, "But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." It comes to worshiping God, and I want to bring that up. You know, you ever, and I want to ask you, I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand, but have you ever just been like seriously face down or just in prayer and meditating on a particular spirit scripture, and the Spirit of God just connects? I mean, it not only makes sense, but you can almost feel like light being pumped into you. Like, I not only get that, I understand that completely. And Father God, that is so real to me right now. I just want to praise you. I just want to thank you. I just want to break out and worship you. I just want to shout praise to you. Worshipers that God is seeking, I believe, does not fill their eyes with other gods, does not fill their ears with other gods. They worship him. That might be a little off kilter, and I'm sure, I'll find out soon enough. But anyway, as I read that, Psalm 1:1-6. "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." So what in the world do I want to make a point of with that? Is TV wicked? I'm going to let you make that decision. Or maybe we're just better at, are there TV shows that are wicked? And I thought about this as an example. I want to give you permission, but not this week, okay? Okay, we're not going to do it this week. Or if you do it this week, go ahead and pay attention. As you watch your favorite TV show, have your Bible laid on your lap, okay? And as you watch your favorite TV show, I want you to write down from that show, from its characters, everything that points to God. Everything that would point to God. Everything that would be honoring to God. Everything that would glorify God. From that show, write that down. And then in column 2, I want you to write down the way they dishonor God. That they disrespect God. That they stomp all over His righteousness. That they throw ideas and thoughts into your mind that is nowhere even close to praising and worshiping our God. And when you're done doing that, take Scripture and filter it out and see whether it is worth you being a follower of Christ. If it is worth you watching that or participating in it or whatever. Philippians 4, 8 and 9 says this, and I could have come with just this. This is just pure truth. He says, finally, brethren, this is what you focus on, okay? Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good of good repute. If there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Okay, so, we're winding up. I can tell you one thing. I won't be here next week. What's he going to preach on next week? How much I'm eating? You know, I don't know. Whatever God brings to my heart. Here's our challenge. Let me make it abundantly clear. You're not obligated to do this. You're not obligated to do this. I can't make you do anything. But it came to me as I was reading this article, because I'm going to do it. Dadgummit, some of y'all need to do it. No, just kidding. I want to challenge you with this. In next week's service, well, let me tell you what we're going to do. First of all, it's just got me to thinking. Number one, go home today and write down everything in your life that's not necessary. That's not necessary. I mean, if you just left it alone, it's not going to end your life or end your world or cause chaos. What is not necessary? Not a necessity. Write that down. Make a list of what's necessary, not necessary. And then I want you to count up the time that you would spend doing the unnecessary stuff. And you can kind of guess at it, but be honest with yourself. Well, I watch a TV program. That's 1 minute. No, you know, you can be honest with yourself. I spend an hour a night doing this, or an hour in the afternoon, or 2 hours in the morning blowing my nose. I don't know. You whatever. Write down things that's not necessary. Take and write down the time that it takes you to do those things. And then devote that time. This week, we're going to call this Jesus Week. Ooh, isn't that catchy? You know, take that time and devote that time to reading Scripture and being face down before God. If you do that, just this week. In fact, if some of you need a visual, take that stuff that you wrote down and the time that it takes you to do it, take them, write down the things you love to do other than read Scripture and put it in a shoebox, put it up on a shelf and said, I'll be back next week to get you, if that'll help you any at all. I hope the shoebox sits there and deteriorates. But I believe this. Oh, and the other thing, this needs to be a lot like he instructs us when it comes to giving. The other thing, your heart needs to desire this. Just because the preacher's telling you to do it, you know, if you're sitting there right now, it's like, this is the most ridiculous thing. If your heart is begrudgingly, go keep doing what you're doing. Reap and sow towards corruption. You know, just keep doing what you're doing. But for those who are serious about saying, I wonder if I took a week and took my spare moments and just reading this word and actually seeking God, actually taking Scripture and meditating on it, actually saying, God, I really, really want you to show me something. I wonder if it would make a difference. I wonder if it would make a difference. I believe it will, and the reason I say it does and will is because it's made a difference in my life. The more time I spend with God, the more my eyes are opened, the more, and this might seem cheesy, the more assurance, the more confidence, the more peace, the more I really want to go. I really want to go and move. It brings those things up in me. So I want you to do that. The second thing I'd love for you to do is pray, of course, but pray for nothing for yourself. Okay? This can be tough because we get up every morning and I'm like, God, don't let me cut my arm off with a chainsaw today. You know, you pray for those things, but don't do that. I'll challenge you. I want you to make this all about God. All about God this week. Because believe it or not, he says in Matthew 6:8, he's telling you, remember, he's talking about prayer, and he's like addressing what the Gentiles did and all that, and he said this in Matthew 6:8. He says, so do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So a couple things will be happening this week, okay? One, you're going to be reading Scripture. Two, you're going to be praying to God, not for us. God already knows what you need. He already knows the desire of your heart. Did you know that God can look in and see the pain in your heart? Did you know that God can look into your heart and know exactly what you need? And do you believe that God can actually provide that? If you truly believe that and say, okay, God, I'm going to set that aside. This week is for you. This week is all about you. I want you to pray and meditate on Scripture. When you read Scripture, take it into account thing, and just begin to meditate on it. Some of you are out there maybe want to know where to start. Start in the four Gospels. Great place to start. In fact, read all four Gospels. Awesome place to start. And just ask God to make sense. And God, show me your truth. And I believe you'll do that. I believe you'll do that. And here's what's going to happen next week. Next week, I feel like I might have to prepare a message, so I'll have a little something. But here's what I want to do. I want a handful of you, and I'll just call you out when you get here next week. And if I have to sit up here and nobody does this, next week we're going to talk about heaven and hell. And I'm going to preach that hard. Okay? Just kidding. Maybe. Next week, I'd like to have some of you come up here, give you a minute or two, and tell me what a week in your wasted time that you did have, now you made it time that you're going to spend with God. Tell me what happened and what God's done. What God's shown you. You might get like 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. I never knew. And that's good. I hadn't got it completely understood yet, but it kind of just woke me up a little bit. That's good. That's good. That's the kind of things we want to hear. And I want to do that because I want you, as well as the rest of us, to be a testimony of what God does when we are devoted to Him. And we spend time with Him. Some of you already said, I ain't going to be here next week. And that's okay. If one of us shows, in fact, if one or two of us show, we'll just sit down and have a Bible study. I'm okay with that. But we need to get real, people. We need to, you know, Jesus tells us to follow Him. And I'm a little sick in my own life of, okay, I follow Him in an Americanized way. And I think that's cheap. And I think that's wrong. And I think here in our culture, we have to be on give it extra effort, if you will, because there's so much stuff around trying to gain our attention. We have to be deliberate and devoted to hours. Y'all watch TV, but I've already got mine figured up. And this is probably conservative. In fact, my boy's sitting in here. He's going to probably stand up and say, there's a lot more than that. But I figure each night, I probably take in 3 to 4 hours, not far off of what Matt said. Each night, I'll take in about 3 or 4 hours of television. You know, I watch wholesome programs, of course. But I'll take that in. And it got with me, and I think I told y'all this the other week or last week. I remember preparing the message. And at 8 o'clock, one of my favorite TV shows come on. And so at 8 o'clock, I'm looking and reading. And I shut my Bible and go watch a TV program. Here's exactly what that said to God. I have a God that is more important than you. And it's television. I have a God that deserves my attention more than you do. And I don't care. I've tried to slice that up several different ways. That's exactly what that says. So this week I want you to think about if it gets really, really hard for you to lay something down, is that a God? Because we're going to give our attention and be devoted to what we like the most and what we love the most. We'll give that our attention. So, I think I'm supposed to hush now. So, we're just going to pray for all of y'all. And if you will, can you do something for me this morning? Because this is, for me, and this may mean nothing to you guys, but for me, this is like a monumental moment that we're actually going out on a mission this week. I'm actually sending you out as a shepherd to be challenged and to have a difference made in your life. So if you don't mind, could y'all just stand up and you just hold hands wherever you are together, create a little unity, and you don't worry about that guy that just blew his nose. You know, it's all good, okay? But just some unity, and you know, I just want to pray with us and for us, and it's a shame, isn't it? Isn't it a shame that we have to make this big of a deal out of seeking Jesus? That's crazy. That is crazy. I want this church to be different. I want us to be able to come in and say, dude, I don't know what the new season. I have no idea. I can tell you what Jesus is doing in my life right now. You know? So anyway, let's pray. Can I hold your hand?
Sure.
Father God, I thank you so much for loving us. God, I thank you for just the great God that you are. And Father, I'm humbled by, God, just your mercy and your grace. Father, as we go out this week, I pray that we'll just take the challenge, we'll run with it, God, and go with it. And God, expect great things out of you. God, that we will, with a sincere, devoted heart, we will read, we will study, and Father, we will just, we'll watch you make a difference in our life. God, I pray that this week has such impact on us that it will create in us a deeper desire to just do those things. Father, we love you and we thank you. May you be glorified in everything we do. As we walk out these doors, may we be testaments of who you are. To all praise and glory go to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so guys, I'm next week, seriously, come. Would love for y'all to, you're not going to get to preach a message, okay? But just a few minutes. Come with your thoughts and stuff and be a part of this. All right? I'm sorry.